Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good afternoon. Welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, it is the Eagles week, and to discuss everything going on with the team and preview the game, one of the best content creators you know on social media, our guy Ryan Holmes. Good afternoon, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to breaking down an impressive win by the Raiders, going on the road and winning in division, and obviously looking ahead to what some are saying is a trap game heading into the bye. I don't believe in trap games for teams that don't go to the playoffs more than once every 10 or 15 years, but we talk about that.
Now, before we jump into the Eagles game, we need to discuss the Bronco game as far as what were your thoughts exiting that game? What did you see different that you didn't expect, or what was your surprise?
I think the biggest takeaway is just the way that Greg Olsen called the game. It was much different than John Gruden. You saw a lot more play action on first and 10, pulling up the linebackers, taking those shots behind them, going down the field on early in the down. And then clearly on third and short, you know, third and three or less, they threw the ball, took shots down the field again, tried to win vertically versus, you know, trying to ram it up there in 23 or 13 personnel and just trying to run the ball. So you saw a little bit more creativity. You saw Greg Olsen mix up some of the route concepts. You saw him move Ruggs around a little bit more. It was clear they wanted to get Ruggs involved early. You saw Ruggs even lining up as a single receiver on the backside of a 3-by-1 formation. I don't remember Gruden doing that very often, trying to get matchups for Ruggs. And then you saw him move the pocket a little bit. You saw Carr, you know, run some bootlegs, which I haven't seen from Derek Carr in his career in 8 years. You saw them try to run some option routes on the outside very quickly. So you just kind of saw a little bit of subtle changes to the offense that, you know, we've been talking about and fans have been talking about for years. And you kind of saw Greg Olsen do that. They mixed up the run game a little bit. You saw a little bit more power. You saw some counter in the red zone. It wasn't all strictly, you know, inside zone or anything like that. So I was very pleased with the way the game was called offensively.
Now, did you get a sense, I know you can't read anybody's mind, but just from your viewing, did the Raiders seem a little looser, a little calmer, at ease Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it appeared, you know, from our vantage point, you know, watching through TV, not being in the locker room or understanding what's going on in there, but, you know, from a distance, it did feel that way. I feel the team was looser. You saw them come out. They played fast early, something they haven't done this year. They got up, and then they put their foot on the neck of the Broncos going up 31-10. They came out of, you know, scored right before halftime, came out of halftime, get a stop, get a score, and boom, it's 24-7. So I do think the team played a little bit looser. The defensive line came out with their hair on fire, just getting after Teddy Bridgewater. The Raiders didn't blitz much in this game, but they got consistent pressure. And then, like I said, offensively, you saw a little bit less mistakes. Best game of the year by the O-line. There were still some obviously things they need to clean up, but from just where they were for the first 5 weeks of the season, this was their best week. And then you saw guys just – you didn't see any panic from any of the players on the field, even though it was 7-7. They let the Broncos go down and score in the opening drive. But I thought you could sense that the team was a little bit, you know, looser and were just out there playing for one another. They kind of bonded and gelled over everything that had transpired last week inside that building.
Now, if we fast forward to the Sunday's game when they face the Eagles, the Eagles offense to me is it's interesting because it is, despite the young talent at receiver, it's running back centric, it's run game centric. I know you have a dual threat in Jalen Hurts, but their running backs between Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell, they type of third on team in targets. When you have a young quarterback, is that more, do you think that's trying to ease him into the pro game, or do you think it's a lack of faith in the receivers to generate separation?
I think it's a mixture of everything. You have a young quarterback. You have really young wideouts. They have Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, who are in their first and second year, and then Quiz Watkins on the outside, who also the second-year receiver. So they don't have a lot of experience on the outside. You have a new system. You have a quarterback in his first year starting. He had a couple starts at the end of last year. They've had some injuries on the offensive line. And they're pretty much a dink and dunk offense. They're not throwing the ball down the field. The interesting thing to me watching the Eagles is they don't run the ball. They don't try to run the ball. There's games where they've given Miles Sanders, you know, 2, 3, 4 carries in the entire game. They did it last week where I think he had 2 or 3 carries going into the fourth quarter until they started running a little bit more. And Jalen Hurts actually has 53 rushes. I looked this up yesterday in 6 games. Miles Sanders has 57. So the quarterback's running the ball just as much as the tailback. So it's something that I think could give the Raiders issues is they've had a lot of problems with scrambling quarterbacks. You saw, not that Jacoby Brissett falls in that category, but he was able to run on them when given the opportunity. You saw Lamar Jackson do it. Justin Fields, not so much, but quarterbacks that can get out and move a little bit have given this defense problems, and they're going to throw the ball short. So it's going to be interesting to see the adjustments the Raiders make. The pass rush in particular, I don't think they're going to pin their ears back like they did against Teddy Bridgewater and come after him, just so they don't give up those running lanes where Jalen Hurts can pull it down and hurt you. It might be more of a controlled mush rush where, you know, they kind of stay in their lane and try to get push and get those linemen in the face of Hurts because he's a smaller quarterback. So it's going to be interesting. I do think Philly defensively does give the Raiders some problems. So we'll see how they match up going into the game this weekend.
One thing I saw when I looked at some of the Eagle film and then reviewed some of the stats is, yes, Hurts is only completing about, 62% of his passes, but his number of good throws and on-target throws has increased to about 70%, where, like you say, it's a deep enough offense. It's more of shorter, which helps the stats, but it actually is showing that he, you know, he has the talent palette to succeed this level. When I look at it, though, he's going to run. He leads his team with 5 rushing touchdowns. And like you said, it's weird that you have a talented backfield in Gainwell and Sanders, but they don't really feature them. Now, when we talk about Sanders, he's a high yards per average, but like you said, a low carry guy. What should the Raiders expect, and how would you hope to bottle him up if, say, he does get multiple carries?
I think the Raiders are going to play more of their under front, which they did last week to help slow down the Broncos in obvious running situations. But I think initially the Raiders are going to come out and just play their basic cover 3 and see if Philadelphia wants to run the ball. Because if they don't want to run the ball and they want to be one-dimensional, they're going to play right into what the Raiders want to do. They're just going to have to shore up that coverage in the curl and the flat, you know, the hook players, everything underneath 5 to 10 yards. And then they're going to throw the ball to the backs, like you said, out of the backfield, a lot of check downs and stuff like that. So this week is going to be about rallying and tackling and then mixing it up on third down and not letting Jalen Hurts beat you on 3rd and 8 by running for 10 or 12 yards. So I don't think they're going to try to go explosive plays over the top, but the running backs will be featured in the pass game. Clearly Dallas Goedert's a good tight end that they can use underneath as well, and then Hurts running around. But they still need to have a game plan in case they do want to take deep shots because Reagor can run. Devontae Smith won the Heisman last year. We all know about him. And Watkins can really run, too. So they do have speed outside the Raiders are going to have to be aware of. But I would just come out defensively and see what they're going to do. Because, like I said, if they want to come out and throw the ball around and not run the ball, they're going to play right into the Raiders' hands.
When I look at it, I was surprised that the Eagles traded Zach Ertz, who was Mr. Eagle, long-time Eagle. And they're really going to roll the dice with Dallas Goedert being younger, cheaper, and at this point more athletic. The Raiders, it's weird. I think that their defense should be able to, like you said, if they play disciplined versus Hurts, I see them faring fairly well. Now, when we jump back in here from break, I want to talk about the Eagles offensive line and I never thought I'd say this, but it's the first in a long time, potential mismatch that the Las Vegas Raiders actually will enjoy. You're listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FBC Radio Network.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Introducing Royal Caribbean's newest ship, Icon of the Seas, the ultimate family vacation. The ultimate six slides, eight neighborhoods, zero compromise vacation. The ultimate never done that, can't wait to do it vacation. The ultimate chillin' by a different pool every day of the week vacation. This is the Icon of Vacations. Icon of the Seas, arriving in 2024. Book today. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Hyperice, the leader in advanced warm-up and recovery technology. They have tons of innovative products, like Venom-heated wearables to help soothe sore back muscles, Normatec compression boots to speed up recovery and increase circulation, and Hypervolt massage guns to improve mobility. Loved by athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland. Try them yourself. Get 10% off your order with the code MOVE at hyperice.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, when you look at the Eagles offensive line, they have Lane Johnson, who missed a game via personal issues. He's back. I want to focus on their tackle, Jordan Mailata, who, for those who don't know, former rugby player, never played a down of college football. 24, they saw enough of him to invest $60 million into him. He is a massive project with upside. He's like 6'8", about 340, but he's big and agile. When you see somebody like a Yannick Ngakoue coming around the corner, what do you think that Ngakoue will try with the rookie first? No, not the rookie.
Yeah, I think his name is Mailata. I could be pronouncing that wrong, but like you said, he's big, he's physical, he's athletic. Technique's an issue. He hasn't played a lot on the offensive line, so I think it's going to be more. And Ngakoue is just going to try to beat him with a standard cross chop move and just see how he handles that. The speed off the edge, at home. Hopefully, the Raiders get a home crowd and that offensive line is laid off the snap. So I think initially Ngakoue is just going to do what he does. He's going to try to win with speed and his hands. And then how does he counter that with inside moves in case he can't get around the corner? I think you'll see Max Crosby over across from him as well at times that could give him fits. But he's going to be the weak link, I think, at this point. him or the right guard, Jack Driscoll. But the Raiders aren't going to, you know, make a lot of money going against Lane Johnson. He's an all-pro over there. I know he's missed some time. But clearly, this is the week for Ngakoue to get loose after Crosby got loose last week. And then, you know, on the inside, Dickerson's a rookie. Kelsey is an undersized guy, older player, but good technician. They're not going to have a ton of success rushing up the middle against him. So you could see this could be another day where it's Ngakoue and then whoever's lighting up on the right guard. If it's Jefferson is a three technique, Solomon Thomas over there as well. So I think the Raiders are going to get plenty of pressure again this week without having to blitz. But to me, it's more containment. You want to force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball. You don't want to let him get out of those escape lanes and get out on the move where he can hurt you down the field with his arm, or he can hurt you scrambling for big, you know, 15, 20-yard chunk plays.
Now, when I look at Lane Johnson, this is, to me, the Lane Johnson-Max Crosby matchup is kind of intriguing because you know Johnson is going to try to get physical and he's going to try to bring it into the proverbial phone booth and want to fight it out with Max. And maybe this is a Max gets his nose bloody game. And I like to see how edge rushers deal with different types of physicality where, you know, Lane Johnson is not opposed to being a little extra, you know, like trying veteran moves on the younger player. I think this is going to be a sound test for Max. I think that Max is going to fare very well. If we flip it, if we look at the defense, Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles blitz the second least in the NFL, where it's about 14%. The Raiders actually blitz the least. They primarily want to get home with their front four, which, I mean, it starts in the middle. It starts with Javon Hargrave and Fletcher Cox. The Raiders, their weak point is the interior of that line. What do you see them trying to minimize the interior of the Eagles' defense, and do you think it will work?
Yeah, clearly when I mentioned earlier the Raiders are going to have some matchup problems, it's those two guys in the middle. It's Hargrave, who I believe that's six sacks, and then Fletcher Cox is an all-pro as well. So how are they going to block those two guys? You're going to probably use the interior three offensive linemen and double team one of them on almost every play, especially on pass downs. You could see the Eagles try to bring some blitzes to get some one-on-ones there, but as you mentioned, they don't blitz much. I don't think the Raiders are really going to worry about those edge guys. You know, Josh Sweat doesn't have much production this year. Derek Barnett, Ryan Kerrigan hasn't done much this year. So they're going to have to focus on how to stop those guys in the middle. Now, do they continue using play action? I would try to get those guys to run, you know, a lot more, you know, some wide receiver screens, some quick game stuff, wear those guys out, you know, wide zone, get those guys moving sideline to sideline and keep them off balance. Because if you want to drop back and throw the ball 40 times and let those guys tee off, they're going to have a lot of success against Simpson, James, and Leatherwood. So it's going to be all about mixing up the play calling, keeping the down and distance to where the Raiders can pass or throw, not get one dimensional. And then I do think there's a ton of opportunity here, though, for Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, those guys that eat over the middle of the field against the linebackers here. There's not a great set of linebackers in Philadelphia that they can get beat in pass coverage. I don't think they're going to challenge much on the outside with Darius Slay, who's still a good player. Maybe they attack Steve Nelson a little bit. Hopefully Anthony Harris doesn't play in this game because he looks hurt. So they're going to have matchup advantages across the board in the secondary, unless away from Darius Slay. So whoever Darius Slay's covering, they're probably going to go away from that. But, again, they have to block those two guys in the middle because if they don't block those guys and you get pressure up the middle, it's going to be tough for Derek Carr to have time to throw the ball down the field. So.
You mentioned the linebackers, and if we go back into recent Raider history, you know, Perry Riley, you had Malcolm Smith, you had you had guys like that. You had guys who couldn't cover, Miles Burris, guys who could not cover. The Eagles, this linebacker core is definitely similar. I want to talk about Singleton. While he does average 11 tackles a game, a couple of things stand out when I watch this film. One, he is atrocious in coverage. He allows 94% of the passes completed when he's covering. at like his man, whoever he's covering, is catching 94% of the passes. He's allowed 3 touchdowns. He's also missed a bunch of tackles where I never thought I'd say this, but I think that the Raiders in space will win these. I really do. I think that Drake, Jacobs, Renfro in space, they'll be able to shake off a tackle and gain more yards, where the Raiders offense should be able to eat versus these linebackers. And yes, they're athletic. Like, you have a Davion Taylor. They're athletic, but they can't cover. Do you think when you have an athletic linebacker who doesn't seem to be the most adept at covering, that's a mental issue, or you think that's something that could be coached and physically worked on?
Well, it depends on what system they came out of in college. And then, you know, if you get a guy like Davion Taylor, went to Colorado, a really fast guy, I think you can coach those guys up, but it's going to depend on the scheme and what you ask them to do. Clearly, you know, they could thrive in a cover three system. Most guys can, like Gus Bradley runs, because you're not asking these guys to do much. You take the same linebackers and you put them in a Paul Gunther scheme where you ask him to do all kinds of stuff. It's much different for these players. So I don't know much about the Eagles defensive scheme, but I don't have a problem taking guys that are fast and they can run sideline to sideline and trying to coach those guys up. But I think it comes down more to scheme than anything. And then just their overall football intelligence. You know, how well do they see things on the field? What kind of instincts do they have? Do they feel those route combinations? Do they understand splits, like where the wide receiver's lining up, maybe they're covering, and do they understand what routes they're going to run from a condensed set versus, you know, outside the numbers. Just being able to see everything that goes on in front of them takes time for a lot of these guys. But as you mentioned, I do think the advantage here for the Raiders is working the middle of the field. Kenyon Drake, as you mentioned, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller, Foster Moreau, running crossing routes, some mesh concepts, getting Bryan Edwards across the middle, some dig routes. And doing that, I do expect the Raiders to try to run the ball more this week against this linebacking core, and just seeing if they can get any traction going on the ground, because that'll only help the offense if they can run the ball.
Now, you mentioned Darius Slay. Jonathan Gannon also came out that he expects Slay to see a great deal of snaps covering Darren Waller. If you're Derek Carr and you see this, how do you not just fight the urge to force feed?
If I'm Derek Carr and I see Darius Slay spending most of his coverage coming against Darren Waller, I'm more than happy for that, because that means Renfro, Edwards, and Ruggs are being covered by Avante Maddox, you know, Steven Nelson, Zach Pearson, whoever they're using as their third and fourth nickel, and I'm going to win every one of those. So I don't expect them to do that. I think Darius Slay is going to stay and cover whoever the wide receiver is on the weak side of these formations. And you've seen, the Raiders can move everyone around. And Greg Olsen did a great job last week of changing up the trips bunch, who was at the point, what the different personnel was, who was the single receiver away from that. And the Raiders can line up in any different. You saw Renfro line up opposite a 3-by-1. You've seen Waller do it. You've seen Ruggs do it. So it's going to be really hard for Darius Slay to travel with one guy the whole game, because the Raiders are never going to give them the same look where it's just guys spread out wide and he can go find Waller and line up against him. They'll just put him in a bunch and make it almost impossible for him to go one-on-one against Slay.
Now, what's your prediction, and who do you see winning and why?
Well, I think the Raiders are going to win this game at home going into the bye. There might be a little bit of emotional letdown coming off of last week. Hopefully there isn't, but I think they win this game 27-17. I just don't – the Eagles are kind of in the middle of the pack, the 20th in the league in pretty much everything, offense, passing, defense. So, you know, outside of the Raiders just turning the ball over and creating a lot of problems for themselves, I think they're going to be able to move the ball pretty effectively, and they're going to be able to hold Philadelphia under 20 points. Which I think they only average, you know, 22 points a game or something like that. So keeping them right around where they average. And then I just think the home crowd is going to help the Raiders here. And I think we saw the leadership in that locker room that we all questioned for various reasons over what's happened over the last 2 years. The Raiders could have come out last week against Denver and kind of just laid an egg, and they didn't. They played the best game of the year, the best offensive game of the year. The defense got 4 turnovers. So, you can't expect them to do that every week. But, I think the Raiders understand what's in front of them. And this is a game they need to win, and I think they will.
Now, when I look at it, I see it 31-17. I think that the Eagles offense, they're like a big puppy. They're a small puppy with big paws, which means you can see room for growth and potential. They're not anywhere near it now, and I think that this is a game like you mentioned. Good teams don't really have trap games. Like if a team who hasn't played in the playoffs in the longest minute, it's not a trap game. This is a game that good teams win. I think the Raiders win this game. How can people find you on social media and interact with you? And what do you have coming up?
They can follow me on Twitter. It's that handled at rholm22, RHOLM22. Spending a lot of time diving into the All-22. It was fun this week going in to see what Greg Olson did. I put a lot of that content out on my Twitter feed, so if people want to check out some of those video breakdowns, they can. And just waiting for next week to continue to break it down. I'll do that all throughout the season. And then as we get closer to the end of the season, hopefully we're looking at a playoff run. But if not, I'll start diving into some of the draft prospects.
There you go. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever quality podcasts are found. You can find our content at FBC Raiders on Facebook or fullpresscoverage.com/Raiders. As always, Ryan Holmes, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.